Hi, I'm Maggie Dobos. You're listening to Life Partners Podcast, where we explore life-inspired deep stuff as life partners, for life partners, and for aspiring life partners. Enjoy! How to be in a long-term relationship and stay away from the killer of relationship, which is resentment, and how to preserve healthy relationship.
Forgiveness is good because it comes out of being resentful, right? For something that your significant other has done or hasn't done.
So if you wouldn't forgive, you will hold resentment and it might accumulate.
Exactly.
So I think that two things, and I think you quite like to mention the communication aspect, right? So one is forgiveness and one is communication. I think you cannot do forgiveness without communicating. You cannot. Well, you can, because you can internally be forgiving and your partner doesn't even know that you forgive him or her.
I think that's possible, yeah. But I think in order for you to properly forgive or really feel the consequences of forgiveness, you should communicate it out loud, both for your own sake and for your partner, because maybe your partner feels that there is a certain gap between you that he would like to bridge. And if you can talk about it, can communicate, then I think that's good for both of you.
So you want the forgiveness to be expressing, like, but it's not like, oh, I forgive you.
It's, no, it's not, no. This. It's, I think when we talk about this part, and I think it comes a little bit later for me, how I would approach forgiving someone, but that's fine. I think, you know, forgiveness is a process. So when you're in a situation where your significant other has done something that hurts you, we don't really need to go into specifics, of course, but it could be, you know, anything from forgetting a significant date in your relationship to, you know, cheating on you or, yeah, anything really.
Scale, right? From small things to big things.
And it is somewhat important as well, I think, the scale of it. But the first thing is, I think, when something like that happens to you, it's important to take a little bit of time to process it. You know, in the heat of the moment, maybe you go your separate ways to figure things out, separate room or even, you know, separate place to live for a while. But after the fact, I think it's important to really try and absorb what has happened and figure out what is the scale of it. Is this something that is a complete deal breaker? Or is this just something that hurt you, but it is something that you can look beyond? Try and put things into perspective. I think that's one of the first things. And I think it's also very important to be okay with being hurt. It's a natural feeling. It tells you who you are and what your boundaries are, what your limits are for accepting other people's behavior.
I think you mean it's okay when you feel hurt, but it's not okay to be hurt by your partner. Like, it's okay that my partner hurts me, that doesn't respond to my need. It's okay to be hurt.
To feel hurt.
Yeah. But to feel, of course, like you don't want to be in a relationship that you are exposed to your partner hurting you emotionally and not meeting your needs.
Of course.
But it's okay to experience the feeling of being hurt. And I think it's important to not to try to force live through it. Do not try to rush going through it. Oh, because I have to forgive. It's so much better when we take time for that feelings to subside and feel love again and feel kindness again and feel almost rejuvenated, and those memories of good times come back and we miss the other person, then it's a very good time to go and be at that forgiveness and understanding level, rather than, okay, I know I have to forgive, but now I'm really angry. What has happened makes me sad, makes me wounded, whatever. But I know I have to forgive. Oh, I forgive you, but la, 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 la. So I think if someone tries to force the forgiveness because they know it should come and it's good to forgive because they don't want resentment, if they're still in that feeling of being hurt, it will just be most likely blame picking. Oh, you did this, you did that. You know, we have to talk about it now. We have to forgive each other now because it's going to be resentment. But you're still at that frequency of the argument. You're still at that frequency of being hurt, and it will not work. So you need this frequency to change, to subside. You need to get back to the calmness, the acceptance of the feeling of the moment.
Give it enough time to get your head in the right space. The next step, I think, is, okay, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I want to move on. What do I do to move on? Okay, let go of the hurt. Let go of feeling absolutely shitty and, you know, try and change your perspective on the situation. Who knows, maybe there is something good that even comes out of it. Maybe some smaller things that hurt you and you address this with your partner, maybe it will be in a blessing in disguise further down the road because it would lead to him or her changing her approach to certain things.
Yes, awareness, because sometimes or even often one can hurt another person without knowing that something was hurtful to that person. So it's definitely opportunity to change, as you said. Also, it builds trust, because how would you feel if your partner is feeling hurt and holds on to the hurt and does not disclose that they got hurt, but they behave in a shitty way towards you? They are almost like disproportionate reactive to other things, small things. Oh, she's now arguing about the cleanness of the house, who's gonna do the house chores. Last time she was doing the laundry or he was making the laundry, all of a sudden there's an argument. Very often it's nothing to do with laundry or cleanness of the house. There are other things that the person who was hurt holds on to, and they come out as accumulated resentment, unexpressed. I've noticed that it really helps me, and I'm sure I'm not the only example who finds that beneficial. I sometimes struggle to get out of that spin around being hurt, and what really helps me, of course, journaling helps, because what happens is on one page I put all the things that I feel hurt about and all the negative feelings, and as I enter the other page, naturally something happens and I change perspective and I see, well, it's not that big deal as I'm making it, that there are other things. Maybe I was very stressed, that's why I took it in such a bad way. So I can get that perspective through writing, but more often it helps me when I speak about it and I involve that person that I have hurt against, like, you know, I feel hurt, whatever you said or did, right? And then I can say, sorry, you know, when you did this or when you said that, I felt hurt when you said that because something was important and I felt la 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 la, right? So I explain why something hurt me, where's my logic and how it makes me feel. And I also take almost like I reach out for help and say, can you help me to overcome this?
I think that's absolutely the best approach. Put yourself in a state where you can communicate with the person, your partner, who has hurt you, and really explain the way you feel, the emotions you've gone through. Then I think that's almost like therapy right there. As long as the other party is open to having that kind of communication. But sometimes you will be in relationships where the communications between the partners aren't the easiest thing for them. Some people are not comfortable or even experienced in that way of communicating. So an alternative might be to talk to a confidant, someone you trust, maybe your best friend or someone you've reached out to before in similar situations. If you know that, okay, I want to be with my partner, but talking to him or her about this hasn't been really that fruitful in the past. Other things have helped. And talking to someone else and helping yourself put things into perspective by talking to that other person can sometimes be a really good solution.
First, you tried talking to your partner, knowing that this doesn't work. You're looking for other ways for gaining perspective and having that more experienced confidant in your life who might be bringing that emotionally unaffected perspective, because you are the one who's hurt. So it will be very beneficial to hear someone who is not taking sides, if possible, right? So we've mentioned that in previous episodes, it's good to have someone who doesn't take sides and can offer that when they have your best interest, your as a relationship best interest at heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, then it's like trustworthy.
Yeah, no ulterior motives or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, then yes. Yeah. And when I was working as a coach as well, I met those people who were telling me how they feel hurt or, you know, all sorts of reasons why they're not happy in their relationship. But when asked, have you spoken to your partner? Oh, he wouldn't understand. So there was no attempt to talk to the partner, almost like not believing that that will help. But partner might not have any awareness about it. There's nothing that partner can do unless you bring this to the conversation. And what I would like to suggest is actually, if partner doesn't get it and it's a big deal, it might be necessary to bring someone outside of the relationship that will be for both of you, like a family therapist.
For serious matters, of course, professional help is probably the way to go.
But like 99.9 cases of forgiveness and hurt happens on a daily basis. There's no need for the therapist until it accumulates to the size that the resentment is almost breaking the damaging the relationship, right? And it's way too late. So it's better for us to talk about the ways how to let go of the resentment and let go of small things and arrive to forgiveness and arrive to unity. So people get back together, they recover from conflicts, they recover from hurt.
Yeah.
Because those things happen every day.
Exactly. It's something that everyone can relate to, have experienced, and will experience in the future. And I think if you develop experience in dealing with that, that's successful between you two in the relationship, then I think that's probably gonna strengthen your relationship and be a good recipe for future situations as well, because, you know, most likely it is going to happen again. It's two individuals in a relationship coming together, and that in itself is a compromise, and there will be clashes, and, you know, the strength of your relationship will depend on, in part, how you deal with the conflicts and the spats and the hurtful situations that inevitably will arise in the relationship.
And this is what you just said is such a good point for creating the channel, creating the communication channel with your partner where this is acceptable and this is good and this is welcomed. So you can talk about hurt and explain arguments, and it shouldn't be always going, trying a bit doesn't work, go outside of the relationship. I would challenge, I would try to make it so important for both of you to have that sit down together and talk, so you don't have to accumulate and carry this with you, and you can address those things.
Yeah, I think if you can, like we talked about, come to that frame of mind where you've let go of the hurt and you're ready to communicate.
And it's not only your readiness, it's readiness of your partner. So for example, if you are an early riser, I wake up very early, and when I want to talk about those things, I cannot do it very early, knowing that my partner is not awakened without the coffee.
That's right.
And it's not good in general to have those conversations when you are exhausted at the end of the day.
That's also right.
So leaving something for the right time in the right place, you cannot do it when you are in your parents' house and you're trying to be with your family at the same time. You want to fix something because things came up and you want to deal with it. Then take a walk, get outside of the house. Change environment. Don't make a show out of that. If you know that this is something that you want to address, try to make that space and time when it's appropriate to talk about those things. And if not, park it. Park it is a good thing.
Yeah. Don't set yourself up for failure.
Don't try to talk about those important things when you are exhausted after work or after putting kids to sleep. It's end of the day. It's very difficult to stay focused and keep the level of kindness and positivity that you would have when you have the energy during the day. So make sure that you and your partner are in good state, good enough state to pick up conversation like this.
Yeah, I think that's very good. It's very good advice.
Approval.
Seal of approval, yes.
At the same time, I don't think it's very healthy to have those conversations too often or a few times a day. I really don't think it's okay to be so easily hurt about small things. And I think it's very important to have that resilience for small stuff that shouldn't bother us. And we should deal with them internally by ourselves without a need to journal, the need to talk to a friend, or the need to talk to the partner. There's a billion of things that they are not worth sitting down and discussing. It's just something that bothers you. And it's a good question you can ask yourself, like self-coaching. Am I annoyed by this, or am I feeling hurt because I was depleted? I was stressed already. I was already in a bad mood because I have maybe PMS, hormonal changes, because someone already annoyed me at work or in the shop or whatever, right? So I already have like buzzing state, being prickly, and then one thing happened. It's like a sparking point. No, like a, how do we have the
light? Bursting point.
Bursting point, but also like a, you know, like a spark that lights the flame.
Yeah.
So pay attention if this is disproportionate, if this is overreaction, right?
Yeah.
Because there were other things in play. And maybe that little push from your part, the small thing, just flipped you.
Yeah. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Don't sweat small stuff.
That's really good advice. Like we said earlier on, put things into perspective. Figure out what this means to you, what happened. Try and take that little step back. Figure out, okay, is this something that is really worth my time walking around feeling miserable and hurt for? Or is it, you know, something that, yes, this is a deal breaker. This is something we have to deal with. I have to tackle whatever this is. Do I want to be with this person because of this? If no, then okay. Then of course that's a choice you're free to make. But also, if you really feel like, okay, this was a big deal, but I still love the person,
it's still worth fighting for.
Yeah, exactly. You've taken the time to look at it. Yes, it is a big deal to me, but I love this person. There are so many great things that we share together.
Perspective, right?
Exactly, perspective. And the good things, I believe, if this is worked through properly, it will outweigh this issue no matter how severely it hurt you. It is still not big enough to let go of the relationship altogether. You've communicated, you've expressed your feelings, you maybe talked about, okay, where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Second chances, right?
Yes. So it's almost like agreeing that account is zeroed now. I don't take scores now. I really feel like we start anew again. And we both know about it, so it's good to agree. It's a new beginning. Whatever happened, no matter how this challenged us, we give each other another opportunity to what?
To thrive. To be in a happy relationship. Putting things right. And I think if you put yourself in the frame of mind that you're ready to forgive and you're ready to give that person that second chance, I think it's also important to feel like, okay, I'm ready to trust again. If the other person really broke your trust with what he or she did, then giving that person a second chance is only part of the process, I think. You're not going to succeed, or the other person is not going to succeed in changing his behavior if you're not open to trusting that person again. I think it will depend on what that other person did, of course. If it's something absolutely, to most people, unforgivable, then trusting is of course hard. I think in continuation of that is important to look at the other person's actions. Is he really doing what he said he would do, right? Words are cheap, actions matter. They go a long way.
This all applies to the situation when you, something unforgivable has happened.
But it can also be like a state that you felt yourself over a long time. It's not really something that the person has done, but it's that state you're in a relationship that's sort of wearing you down and breaking you down, that it's getting emotionally harder and harder to deal with. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something that, you know, is a hurtful action in itself, but it's a state that you feel that, okay, it's so hard for me to deal with that something's got to give, something has to change.
Mm-hmm. What about the situations where something is unforgivable and should not be forgiven? It's not that we should forgive everything. There are some things, for example, physical violence.
Absolutely.
This happens, is you can forgive the person in your heart, within you. You can understand where this came from. Maybe alcohol triggered that. Maybe some upbringing triggered that, unresolved issues from the past. Maybe you can forgive the person eternally, but I don't think it is safe, and I don't think the person should be trusted. I believe this should be over. Don't give second chances. Like when this happens and you see what the partner is able to do, and this applies to women and men, and there's violence, then cut it off. Just part of your processing should be let go of this, get out of the situation, find safe space physically, emotionally, psychologically, get support.
I think this is the exception to what we talked about earlier, where we basically said that, okay, communicate with your partner. In these situations where there's physical violence involved, emotional abuse, then okay, look to a third party to give you perspective.
Because
on this.
Often the partner who is abusive, and this applies to men, women, doesn't matter, might try to make you believe that this is all in your head and it's not real. That's only how you feel about this, honey. It's not really what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So it's better to, what would you do? You will seek the second opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Get a second opinion. There is a responsibility on you to put yourself out of that situation for yourself and for your loved ones, and, you know, get help, seek professional advice.
And I understand that it might be super difficult because you might love the person, you might have a lot of good memories, amazing past, never something like this happened before, but things can change.
You know, anyone can have a moment of, you know, lapse of sanity in high pressure situations. It can be a one-off, or it can be a sign of things to come. It's impossible for us to say on a general basis.
But even if something is a one-off, do you think this should be accepted? For me, one-off means it's over. One-off, it's one too many.
Yeah, that's your individual opinion.
I'm a woman.
Yeah, you're a woman.
It's because I put the threshold so low that very quickly you can get over that threshold. My threshold for unacceptable physical violence is not high. So basically one-off means it's over.
Yeah.
Cheating. How many times my husband have to cheat on me so that it's going to be over? Because again, I put the threshold on cheating, right?
Yeah. No, I completely agree, and I respect those opinions.
But three.
But I think we have to be respectful of people having a different opinion to us on that subject.
Correct. So everybody will have their own threshold, and each person has to decide what is forgivable, what is not forgivable. But there's something that we agree in general. It is not acceptable to be in abusive relationship where violence happens, when we have mental abuse, the psychological abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. Any abusive situation where you stay, it's detrimental to you, to your health, and to your close ones.
Yeah. Are there things in the forgiving process that we can mention that will help with that process?
You know, my first reaction to what you just said was, actually, even after you forgive, when you go through the time when it really hurt you and you resolve this, fine. But you have like allergic reaction that brings back the past. Even if you went over that, there might be some things that, much smaller things, that just look like the one that hurt you in the past. And your reaction is, oh my God, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. It's very important to be aware of the allergic reaction to something that hurt you in the past. Flashbacks.
It's a defense mechanism that's triggered in you.
Yes, and it's okay to experience that. Most likely, there's no reason to panic. Basically, if you got really hurt, then those feelings might resurface even after the forgiveness and the work done and recovery process and things are going well. But then small things happen and it lights that.
And it can be a good thing because, you know, if it's happened once, then maybe it'll happen again if it's infidelity.
Stay alert.
Yeah. I mean, if you see patterns reoccurring, right? Okay, this reminds me of what happens last time.
You're vigilant.
Exactly, you're vigilant.
Yeah.
You don't want to put yourself in the same situation again, of course. So I think what you're touching upon is important. It's your body telling you, your mind telling you that I have a good reason to be alert now. Hopefully you've resolved things earlier and it's just
a moment that crossed your mind.
Exactly.
It's not something that hijacks your life and you are back to square one, right?
Yeah. So what do you do to get yourself out of that moment?
Break state. So if you have the state that you start reminiscing about what has happened, break the state, get distracted. It's just the memory of what has happened. All the things were resolved. The reason why it's hunting you is because there was a big impact. So let go of that. Do something differently. Go out, check your phone, call someone you like. Just do something differently. Distract yourself. Don't really spend time trying to relive the past.
Or check in with your partner. What is this? Is it me just being paranoid? This reminds me of what happened before. Should I be worried? And then, you know, based on the reaction of the other person, maybe there is something there, or maybe it will actually help you to let go of this. It's like, okay, that's just me being paranoid.
I love it. Yeah, maybe I'm just being paranoid, but you are putting this in the open, right? It's like, oh, you know, perhaps I don't have any reason to worry, but, you know, because of the past, can you help me? Like, am I paranoid to think this and that? Or is there really something and you're not telling me?
Yeah. You're almost calling the other person out, right? You're not leaving things to chance.
And I like that. It stops you from imagining something.
Yeah.
You don't want to spend time. You don't want to waste energy on that. If there's something really there, then you just want to find out.
I think so. That's what I would do in a situation like that. It's going around feeling doubtful.
Suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a state you want to carry around because it affects the rest of your life. What things can we recommend focusing on will help with the process of bringing your relationship back to that hopefully happy place where it was before things escalated?
Definitely daily doses, multiple doses of recognition and catching your partners doing right things and bringing that to the conversation. Oh, thank you for this. Or you really helped me with that. What you did was very kind. So bring in those small things forward.
Practicing gratefulness.
Yes, but really practicing, how do people practice gratefulness? They find reasons to say thank you to their partner. And they really mean it.
That's a very good one. And I also think take a walk down memory path.
I know that this was one of the... this is the same line. Exactly. They go back to the memory lane. You know, I know this. You say that. Look at the pictures. Like, be very specific. Look at the pictures. What was your past? Where did you came from? Like, it's very nice. You can say, okay, honey, let's sit down together and look at our last trip and memories from the last trip. Or, you know, 6 months ago when we went this and that place, Let's have a look at the album. Oh, would you like to print out one or two pictures and put it on the wall? How about going back to la la la, this time in the past, right? So it's nice. And if you have any skills of editing, you can even put the pictures together. You can show the partner, oh, you know, I put those things together. I made it for you, to give the opportunity to revisit good memories.
And make new ones. Make happy new memories together. Spend time together.
Absolutely. Make new memories of spending good time together, which might mean that you organize a new place in your week time when there are just two of you and nobody else. And it's a quality time for you. And you can decide what you do. If you are outdoors or indoors, you're going together to the gym, or you're going together for a walk, or you're staying in bed all evening. It's completely up to you how you want to spend the time. But it's the quality time that you give to each other. It's undivided attention that you give to each other.